The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, today is Super Bowl Sunday. And since it's Sunday, I have a confession to make. I'm not really much of a sports fan. I mean, I do like sports, but no one team in particular really has my ongoing, sustained attention, devotion, and affection. Except, of course, the Ducks and the Beavers. And if anyone here is a 49ers fan is having a Super Bowl party, I really love the 49ers too. And the Kansas City Chiefs. Did I mention that I really love the Chiefs? And whichever team it is socially advantageous for me to cheer for in a given moment, I like them too. Seriously, if you invite me over to watch a game with you and you feed me, I will cheer heartily for your team, extol their undying virtue, and pontificate upon the failings of the opposing team. I'm afraid the truth is that my football loyalties are easily bought. Blessed is the team of the hour, for they shall inherit my momentary affection. Our gospel reading for today is from the first part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and includes the Beatitudes, which of course are addressed to no fair-weather disciples. They are addressed to a community of the cross, a community that has decided that no matter how badly their team captain is losing, even unto death, they are all in. You see, true disciples of Jesus are in some ways very similar to true sports fans. A true sports fan does not waver in their support when the going gets tough. They persevere through the hard times because they have chosen to follow a given team, the best team, of course. Blessed is the faithful fan, for they shall have the satisfaction of knowing they were fans even in the lean years. When we read the Beatitudes, we have a few options for how to interpret them. One way of reading them takes Matthew 5:48 as the interpretive key. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. On this model, the goal of these blessings is to set apart the moral superheroes, the perfect, from everyone else. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the meek. You know, the spiritual giants who have the capacity to follow Jesus through incredible adversity and temptation. On the team of the blessed, you have Mother Teresa and Gandhi and Jesus, and whoever can actually live up to this code. And on the other side, you have the rest of us. This way of reading the Beatitudes makes Jesus' words about perfect people, people who always manage to hunger and thirst for righteousness and rejoice in being insulted for Jesus' sake, people who are not mere mortals like you and me. Blessed are the morally perfect, for they shall be in an elite category all their own. Another approach, one especially associated with Lutheranism over the years, is to interpret the Beatitudes as moral ideals to which nobody, not even Mother Teresa, can possibly attain. On this approach, the role of the Beatitudes is to educate us on our need for God's grace by pointing out how far from the ideal we fall. This is called the theory of the impossible ideal. This approach imagines these Beatitudes not so much as declarations of blessedness, but declarations of moral perfection, a new law of righteousness to which we cannot attain. Realizing we cannot meet these ethical ideals is then supposed to leave us primed and ready to receive God's message of grace. The beatitude for this approach might sound something like, "Blessed are those who cannot attain to Jesus' laws of righteousness, for they shall be all the more ready to receive God's grace." While I do think, of course, that we need to be primed and ready to receive God's message of grace, I don't think the Beatitudes should be contrasted with God's grace. Rather, the Beatitudes reveal an aspect of God's grace because they invite listeners, like you and me, into a community centered on the way of Jesus. These pronouncements of who is blessed are, in truth, invitations to discipleship. They are invitations to the way of the cross. These are not commands, but declarations. One might even say inducements to a particular way of living. The Beatitudes welcome disciples to a particular kind of self-sacrifice and love. When Jesus says that the poor in spirit are blessed, he's saying that those who have followed him in emptying themselves of their own sense of power and privilege and self-importance are blessed because they have chosen to live like Jesus, who emptied himself of his own power and privilege and was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The Beatitudes call us to an awareness of what kind of time in history we live. Jesus begins his ministry by declaring that the kingdom of God has drawn near. He demonstrates that a new era is at hand through his powerful healing and teaching. Instead of reading the Beatitudes as timeless, transcendent Christian ideals, we do well to remember that Jesus was speaking as a Jewish teacher to a Jewish community, teaching about the new reign of God that was breaking in through his ministry. The poor in spirit that he addresses had experienced the oppression of the Roman government in their own bodies. Those who grieved and were called blessed would someday be comforted, and who had good reason to weep and mourn their present conditions. The peacemakers, who would be called children of God, had witnessed firsthand the brutal violence of the Roman soldiers who occupied their land. They had seen Jesus address real people who had to make decisions about how they would respond to the crises in their world. Would they turn to violence to throw off their oppressors, or would they be makers of peace? There was a fervent hope in Jesus' day for a Messiah that would violently overthrow the Romans. The question for Jesus' followers was this: would they attempt to inherit the land through blood and enmity, or would they join Jesus in the way of gentleness and hope, trusting that the path of discipleship would lead them to their true inheritance? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Just as Jesus spoke to real people in a particular moment of crisis in the world, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian who resisted the Nazi regime during the Second World War, interpreted the Beatitudes anew for his time and context. Bonhoeffer eventually experienced firsthand the fatal riskiness of following Jesus when he was executed by the Nazis for his role in an assassination attempt on Hitler's life. Bonhoeffer responded in this way because he saw firsthand the plight of the Jews, people with physical disabilities, homosexuals, gypsies, communists, and political dissidents, people the Nazis had decided were not worthy of life. In his book, Discipleship, Bonhoeffer neither softened nor minimized the risky challenge posed by the Beatitudes. The scholars who produced the authoritative English edition of Bonhoeffer's work write that for Bonhoeffer, the poor in spirit are those who refuse to be in tune with the world, who mourn on account of its guilt, its fate, its fortune, and who bear the sorrow and suffering that come their way as they follow Christ. The meek are those who renounce every right of their own and live solely for the sake of Jesus Christ. The merciful are those who can renounce their own honor and dignity for the sake of Jesus Christ and who show their compassion by seeking out those enmeshed in sin or subject to oppression, distress, and humiliation. The peacemakers are those who have found their peace in Jesus Christ and who now renounce all violence and endure suffering for the sake of peace and justice. As long as there is hardship in the world and a band of Jesus' followers responding to it, we will have need of the Beatitudes. As long as there are existential challenges and a church that chooses to face them, as long as there is injustice in the world and a community that chooses to fight that injustice, we will have need of the Beatitudes. Why? Because Jesus' Beatitudes remind us that when we empty ourselves in the pursuit of the way of Jesus, when we feel exhausted from the stress of addressing the challenges of our day as disciples of Christ, it is then that we realize that we are truly blessed. We are part of Jesus' community. We are part of the community of the cross. Jesus does not pronounce blessings upon the comfortable and the complacent. Rather, he calls blessed those who have felt poverty of spirit as they face the challenge of caring for the downtrodden. He calls blessed those who forsake their own privilege and look to the needs of others. He calls blessed those who follow the way of the cross. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. As a community, we are embarking on a journey together today. February will be a month of adult forums about immigration. In these forums, we have the opportunity to learn about having hard conversations. We have the opportunity to consider the plight of those who have next to nothing, who are reviled and persecuted and spoken evil of. And then we have the opportunity to consider how we, as a community of the cross, should respond. What does it mean for us, in our time and in our context, to proclaim the inbreaking of God's kingdom into a world in which so many are in need and there are no easy ways to meet those needs? This is not the first hard conversation that this community has had, and it will not be the last. But my prayer is that we will come together in the spirit of the Beatitudes, that we will be peacemakers, that we will be merciful, and that we will hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice. Whether you are a fair-weather sports fan like me, or a die-hard devotee of whatever team has earned your affections, clearly the best team, ultimately, we come together in our common commitment to following Jesus on the path of discipleship. We are united in our devotion to being a part of the community of the cross, the community that Jesus calls blessed. Amen.